Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message inspires you. And now, here is Pastor Jesse Norman.
Well, good morning. Welcome to week one of our Christmas series, So God Came to Us, and it's going to be an incredible time. How many of you are ready for the Word of God this morning? I'm ready to preach it. And you put your faith with my faith, I believe we're going to see God do something awesome this morning. And we've already seen something awesome. There was a DJ somewhere. Did y'all hear that? Wicka, 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 wicka. In the we had some RF. There's a radio station somewhere. Somebody around here has a homemade radio station. And every once in a while, they're on it, and it starts interfering with our microphones. And some of you are like, do they have a DJ back there, like, spinning records? It's no. It's not that cool. It's just RF interference. So, well, we're going to have a great day today. I wanted to celebrate something really awesome that happened last weekend and is really continuing into this weekend. Last weekend, we took up our Christmas miracle offering. And I want to celebrate all of you. Last weekend, in one weekend, our church gave $28,000. Come on, we can celebrate that. That's you guys. And today, right after this service, between this service and our 5 p.m., we are giving away thousands of presents to children in need, because of your generosity, we get to have so much more outreach to our community during this Christmas season. And I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for being generous in action. That you didn't just think generosity, you actually put it into practice. And I don't know where you're at on your generosity journey, but we have a thing here at My City Church called our Next Classes. We would love to partner with you in helping you lay some great spiritual foundations in your life. And one of those is generosity. Today is step two of our next classes, all about establishing those spiritual foundations in your life. Every week they happen right after this service. Upstairs we provide lunch for you. Come hang out with us and get a great blueprint on how to build spiritual foundations in your life. Can we give our next teams a big round of applause? Man, they're amazing. Well, if you got your Bibles with me today, Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to read a really classic story about the birth of Jesus. And here's what it says. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. What does that mean? She was engaged to him. But before they came together, now if I have to explain that part to you, use your imagination. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law. Say faithful to the law. And yet did not want to expose her publicly to disgrace. He had a mind to divorce her quietly. You got to understand something. In these days, engagement was as serious as marriage. So if somebody was engaged to be married, they still had to get a divorce. So he's thinking about divorcing her quietly, doesn't want to embarrass her publicly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are going to give him the name Jesus. Isn't that a great name? Jesus. And here's why it's a great name. Because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. How many of you are thankful today that God's with us? I want to read one more passage of scripture that we're going to attach onto here. It's Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. It says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman and born under the law. Born of a woman and born under the law. Today I'm going to attempt to tackle some big theological concepts. Today I want to talk to you about this thought or this topic, God with us. God with us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you that you're not a God that stays in the distance, Lord God, but you're a God that comes near to us. So I pray if there's anybody in this room today who's feeling discouraged, like maybe you're just far away today, God, I pray that they would sense your nearness today. And Lord, we are so thankful for good weather outside on a Sunday. Lord, you are good, you are gracious and faithful. Keep it coming. In Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Come on, if you love Jesus today, can we put our hands together for him? Come on. So I got this question for you today. Have you ever been in a situation where you just needed God to contend for you? You needed God to show up in your world. Like you were grateful you had friends and you were grateful that there was other people around you, but there are some situations you need God to show up in the middle of, you know? Me and Angela have had a few of these situations in our life, and I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about this one that happened to us when we first got married. I think we've been married for only about a year, and we decided that we were gonna have a movie night. Like a movie night at the house. We were gonna watch a great movie and cuddle on the couch and you know, just watch a good movie. She was vying for a chick flick. I was vying for an action flick. Come on, all the men, give me a good amen. All right. So we decided to go get a movie. Now, some of you that are younger in this room, you don't know the pain that we used to have to go through, okay? How many of you remember Blockbuster Video? Come on, Blockbuster Video. Some of you haven't cleaned out your wallet since 1985. You still have a Blockbuster membership card in your wallet. See, you actually, back in the day, we didn't have Netflix. You couldn't stream everything. So you actually had to get in the car. You had to drive to the store. And then you had to walk the aisles to look at the movies and try to find something that you like. I mean, how many of you remember? Then you had to take them back in a little quick drop. How many remember the quick drop? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you just quick drop it off and then, you know, get back in the car, Blockbuster, 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 you know? And so this one time, me and Angela go to Blockbuster and we're walking around and we're trying to figure out what we're going to watch, you know? This is 2006, so I wanted to watch Inside Man by Denzel Washington, okay? She wanted to watch Step Up, the original. I'm like, come on, girl. We don't want to watch no dancing. This is Denzel. You know what I mean? Like, do I got anybody out there you love some Denzel? I mean, I have never seen such a good actor. Every movie the man comes out with, I own all of them. I'm a big Denzel fan. Some of you are like, what does this have to do with the message? Nothing. Just excited about Denzel Washington, okay? So we're going back and forth, and we're looking at the movies, and then all of a sudden, in the middle of the store, I hear this blood-curdling scream. Like, it's not like one of those screams like, oops, I fell down. It's like, I'm gonna die kind of scream. Like, this lady up front, I can hear her screaming, no, no! And then all of a sudden, so I look up, and I see a guy, and the next thing I hear is a man say, give me all the money! And then I look at his hand, he's got a gun pointed at the lady. And so like any masculine, brave, authoritative man, I screamed, we're all gonna die! No, I didn't do that. I didn't do that. That's what I wanted to do, you know what I mean? And the only thing, I was like, it was like slow motion. I got so locked in, I don't even remember what the guy looked like. All I can remember is he had a gun in his hand, you know what I mean? And so my first response was to dive on the floor. Then I remembered I'm married, and I should probably try to protect my wife. And so I reach over, I grab Angela, we duck behind, you know, the movies, and I'm watching this whole thing, and this guy's robbing people. And I got to the floor, and for a split second, I prayed a prayer something like this. God, I need you to show up right now in the middle of this. I need you to contend for us, because I don't want to die in a Blockbuster video. I mean, that's not even a good story. People now would be like, hey, how did Pastor Jesse die? Blockbuster video. People are like, what's that? Like, it's not even a good story. I'm like, God, you need to show up right now in the middle of this situation. You know, in life, I think there's some situations that happen to us that are just beyond our control. Like, there's moments in our life where things don't go right. We didn't ask for it. We didn't go looking for it. But nonetheless, we are in the middle of this situation. And we need something greater than ourselves, bigger than ourselves, something that is stronger, has more authority. We need something that is different than us to what? Pull us through the middle of the storm we're in. See, this is the kind of situation that Jesus was born into. Not only was this the kind of situation that Jesus was born into, this is the kind of situation the world was in. The whole world was in the middle of one of the greatest robberies of all time. The devil was the stick-up artist, and man, we needed something greater than ourselves. Here's what Galatians chapter 4, our opening scripture says. It says, but when the fullness of time had come, what does that mean? When it was just the right time, when it was just the right moment where we needed God to show up in our world, God sent forth his son. What does that mean? God came to us. God came to rescue us. God sent his son. And here's two key things that I want us to get this morning. Born of a woman and born under the law. See, we can look at that verse and we just kind of read over that. We're like, yeah, at the right time, God came to save us. But those last two points give us insight on why Jesus is Messiah, Savior, God, and the rescue of the universe. He is born of a woman and born under the law. Born under the law. See, we were in a situation where the laws of God were working against us. See, we had a list of things, a list of expectations from God, and we were trying to get there. We were trying to achieve it. But what ended up happening was is we realized we didn't have the strength to fulfill it. Here's what we actually needed. We needed God to contend for us because the law was condemning us. See, we needed God to step into the middle of our situation. We needed God to step into the middle of the robbery. Because why? The laws of God, they were condemning us. Have you ever asked, like, so where did the law come from and why was it condemning us? Like, I think that if we understand that Jesus was born under the law, why is that significant? Why was the law against us, not working for us? Why was the law condemning us? Well, to get the full story, you have to start in the very beginning of the book. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, it says this, then the serpent, that's called the devil, was shrewder. That was me trying to act like a snake, but it didn't work. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day, he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? The woman replied, of course not. We may eat from the fruit of the garden, in the middle of the, from the fruit from any of the trees except for the one in the middle of the garden. We are not allowed to eat from that one. God said this to her, you may not eat or even touch it. If you do, you will die. Now, I want you to get something here. The minute that Eve touched and ate, did she die? There you go. That's our first clue, right? That something in Eve's nature shifted. I am dead on the inside. My nature has shifted, okay? The serpent replies to her, you won't die. The serpent replied to the woman, God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. So what's the devil's promise here? If you eat this fruit, your eyes will be open, and you will become like God. Have you ever considered for a moment, we were made in his image, but we were not supposed to be God? That there are some things that God was designed to carry, that God himself is only able to carry, that we were never meant to carry. We were never meant to grapple. We were never meant to wrestle with good and evil. Get that for a moment. Like morals, good, bad, what is pleasing to God, what is unpleasing to God. This is not part of God's natural design. This is not the first place. Our number one reason we were created was to have communion and fellowship with God. And if you want to know what God's great initiative in your life is to get you back to the place where you're not consumed with good and evil, you're consumed with him. Come on, if you believe that today, give me a good amen. So here's what happens. We actually ended up falling into exactly what the devil said. He didn't lie. We became like God, and we knew good from evil. Here's the problem is that we didn't know what to do with good and evil. In fact, oftentimes we called the good evil and evil good. We were not designed to carry this. We were not designed to make these kinds of decisions. And so from the onset of our decision to take this up, what? Something shifted on the inside of us. Something that was never meant to be awakened was awakened. And now our nature had shifted. We were no longer natural children of God. We were now in a sinful nature. Now, I want you to get this, because this is going to play a big key in the rest part of my message. Every person born after Adam and Eve was born into sin. You did not fall into sin. You did not become an adult and then make a bad choice and then you became a sinner. From the moment that they fell, their nature, the very fabric of who they are, was changed. And from generation to generation, it was passed down from one man, Adam, to every generation that went below us. See, what ended up happening was that the devil understood God really much better than Adam and Eve did. And he knew if he could get them to wander into good and evil, they wouldn't know what they were doing. And so he also knew, because God is a God of justice and a God of holiness, he would have to clearly explain to humanity what good looks like and what bad looks like. This is where the law comes in. The law comes in, the Ten Commandments, the Old Testament, thou shalt not fill in the blank. This is God trying to help humanity realize, you were meant to carry this. You don't know what you're doing. Here's what the devil did. The devil took the law and hijacked it and aimed it right back at us. Here's what I want you to understand. We loaded a gun and handed it to the devil to point at us in condemnation. Get this for a moment. There's this phenomenon that happens during robberies. Like I was watching a documentary on it the other day, and I'm watching this thing, and they were talking about that when people are being robbed, especially at gunpoint or knife point, when it's a violent situation, the person being robbed is oftentimes the worst eyewitness. Like oftentimes, like cops like are really scared to go to trial when they only have that person being the witness, because what ends up happening in that moment is they overfixate on what could kill them. So in that moment, if somebody's pointing a gun at them, what begins to happen? They literally, most people that are being robbed at gunpoint can't tell you what the person looked like. They can't tell you what they were wearing. They can't tell you what was going on around them. They couldn't tell if somebody was there to rescue them, because in that moment, what happens? They zero in. They overfocus on what's coming against them. They overfocus on what is coming against them. Could it be that this was the devil's greatest plan? That the law was aimed at us, and what did humanity do? We became overfocused on what is against us rather than seeing what is for us. Get this. This is the scenario that Jesus is born into. It has never been more religiously steeped than the moment Jesus came. There is Pharisees and Sadducees, people that keep the law. In fact, his stepdad Joseph that he would be born into was what? Faithful to the law. We had a bunch of people over-focused on what? Their effort to get back to God. They're very aware that we have fallen. So what? Now I got to do enough good to outweigh the bad. If I follow the law will save me. But here's the thing, friends. The law is not God. Therefore, it could not save us. We needed something greater than ourselves to come and rescue us. See, here's the reality of trying to strive towards God by your good behavior and your good works. You'll never get to him. You'll never get to him, because the law wasn't given to get us back to God. It was to help us understand that we needed to be rescued by God. Here's what I want you to get today. We couldn't get to God, So God had to come to us. And here's the scenario that Jesus is born into. Now, you got to get some of this. This story that we read in Matthew chapter 1, Jesus is about to be born, and one day Mary is coming home, right? Mary is engaged to Joseph. Joseph just got home. He's been doing his carpentry thing, and Mary comes walking. He goes, "Hey, honey, how's your day?" She goes, "Oh, I got good news. Good news." And he goes, "Really? What? I'm pregnant." He's thinking in his head, wait a minute. We haven't come to. And he goes, "Oh, no. Don't worry. It's from God." Now, ladies, if you're looking for a good excuse, this isn't it, okay? Can you imagine somebody that you are engaged to? They are with child, and they tell you, "God did it." What does that mean? Like, God, like, so what do you say? She's like, no, I didn't cheat on you. I didn't do any, what is in me? It's born of God. So Joseph is a man, what? Faithful to the law. See, the law commanded that if you were caught committing adultery, you were to be stoned to death. You got to get this. So she's going, "This is from God." He's going, "Do I tell somebody? Because if we tell somebody, we're going to have to stone her to death." See, but in this moment, you also have to understand, like, Joseph is also in the back of his head remembering that there's not just, if you commit adultery, you'll be stoned in the law, but there's also a prophecy found in Isaiah chapter 7 that declares that a virgin will conceive a son, and he will rescue humanity, and we will name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So he's in this moment going, "Man, do we put her under the law, or do we believe that God's on the move and put her under grace?" I find it interesting that the home that Jesus was born into had to face the universal conundrum that Jesus came to solve. In that moment, and so Joseph thinks about it in his head, and he goes, I don't know what to make of this, but I don't want to disgrace her publicly. I don't want people to stone her. So I'm out of here. Like, I'm just going to beep, I'm backing out of this thing, and I'm going to go. And meanwhile, an angel appears to him that night in his dream. It says, "Joseph, don't be afraid, for what is in Mary is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus, for he will save his people from his sins." Then the writer of Matthew quotes the scripture that was probably already running through Joseph's head. And so Joseph's going, "Man, I believe in the law. I follow God's law, but I also believe that we need something better than us to rescue us rather than our good performance." So here's the moment that Joseph is in. And here's two powerful things that we have to take away from this passage of scripture. And the first one in Galatians chapter 4 is, number one, Jesus was what? Born of a woman. See, we needed somebody to come rescue us in the flesh. Because what was against us could only be fulfilled in the flesh. See, the gun that was pointed at humanity, we needed somebody to come and disarm it so that what? Grace could enter. And that could only happen if he was born of a woman. So what is the big deal about the virgin birth? Well, I want you to get this today. Like I said, from Adam to now, every person that has been born has been born spiritually dead, born into sin, right? And that comes from, believe it or not, guys, comes from us. It goes from the male figure all the way down. By one Adam, all of creation fell. By one Adam, a new Adam named Jesus, all of humanity would be rescued, okay? So Jesus being born of God meant he was born without what? Sinful nature. See, this is going to tear up some of your guys' theology. See, your greatest problem is not your mistakes and your failures. Your greatest problem is to realize that you were born into sin and you need a person, his name is Jesus, to rescue you. Okay? So the virgin birth is making this declaration that, number one, Jesus was born without a sin nature, but it's also making a declaration that Jesus is God. He's not a good teacher. He's not a philosopher. He's not a big idea. He wasn't an inspiring leader. He wasn't a person who created a religious system. He is God. That God's son stepped out of the heavenlies, was born in a virgin woman, and came out to what? Save us from our sins. See, here's the beautiful part. The law was against us. The virgin birth says God came to us. That God showed up in the middle of our world. That we needed somebody in the flesh. That when the devil pointed the gun of the law, Jesus could look right back at him and say, you have no place in me. You can't condemn me. You can't hold the world hostage anymore. You can't, because God's come to rescue us. You know what I love about the words that we call Jesus? So many beautiful ones, you know what I mean? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Messiah, our Master, our Lord, the God of all creation. I mean, so many names, but I think from this passage of Scripture, you know what my favorite one is? It's Emmanuel. Because if I just stop at the fact that Jesus didn't have a sin nature and Jesus was God, that feels pretty unrelatable to me. It just does, if I'm honest, because like I go through pain and struggles, but I also have a sin nature that I have to wrestle with. And you know what? If I'm not God, and I don't know what it's like to be God. So it can start to put Jesus in this distant thing. But that's the power of him coming in the flesh. Because he's God with us. Can I tell you what a reason I love this name is? Because you know what it says to me? He understands what you're going through. The Emmanuel says, God is with us. He understands us. He feels our pain. He feels our struggles. See, some of you think you were born into situations that nobody else could understand. I was born into a broken family. Look at Jesus's family. You think you got a weird scenario? Imagine going to school and getting made fun of. Hey, your mom's a Looney Tune. You know what I mean? Virgin birth. Yeah, whatever. Who knows whose kid you are? Now you got a stepdad. I mean, he's got stepbrothers. He's got this whole thing going on. Jesus came from a mixed family. It's pretty relatable. Right after Jesus was born, Herod got insecure and made a declaration saying, you know what, we're going to kill all the firstborn boys. Jesus became a refugee in the first 2 years of his life. The Bible says that they had to go hide in Egypt until an angel told them that they were able to come back. You know what this is? This is hope for humanity. That people that feel like they just moved in the United States or live outside of the United States or don't feel like they have a home or don't feel like they belong. Jesus understands what it means to be disconnected, to be disenfranchised, to not be embraced by people. Jesus knows what it's like to be unaccepted. You got to get this. This is the craziness. He's born into a nation that everything they do is dedicate to serving God. God shows up in their world. They can't see him. The most condemning, critical, judgmental, the people that put him on the cross were the people that should have embraced him most. He understands what it feels like to be rejected. He understands your pain. He understands what it feels like to be alone. He understands because he cried alone, drops of blood at the garden, begging his friends to stay up with him. See, he's not a distant God and an disconnected God. He's a God with us. He's a God with us. He wants to walk with you through life. Doesn't this sound like the restoration of God's original plan? But nonetheless, the law had to be dealt with. The law had to be conquered. So the beauty of the Christmas story is that Jesus came without a sin nature, lived out the law in front of us, lived a sinless life, died on a cross for you and me, and then rose again, defeating death, hell, and the grave. I want to read this passage of scripture for you, to you real quick here. Guys in the back, thank you. Colossians 2. It says, you were dead because of your sins. And because of your sinful, what? Nature was not yet cut off. When God made you alive with Christ, he forgave all of your sins. He canceled the what? Record of the charges against us. What the devil was aiming at us, Jesus said, not guilty. I take it upon myself. Those are my people. I've come to rescue them. And what did he do? He took it and he nailed it to the cross. If I got one of our guys here who's going to help me with this, I want to illustrate this to you for here just for a moment. Here's what Jesus did. Born of a virgin, God came to us. He even put on flesh and blood, but was spotless as snow. And because Jesus could see the stain of sin, the accusations of the devil, he could see that they're just held hostage. What he made a decision to do was not keep us at arm's length, but to get up real close. And he who knew no sin became sin for you and me, that whosoever would believe would not perish, but would have everlasting life. He came to right. Come on, somebody. Come on. Come on. He came to turn it around. You know what this tells me? This gives me so much hope. For the person who's far away from God right now, or the person who's been following him for 30 years. You know what gives me so much hope? Is he's still in the business of getting his hands dirty. He's still in the business. He's God with us. He's Emmanuel. He sees your things, man. Can we give Josh a big round of applause? And here's what I want to encourage some people with today. Is that what Jesus does on our behalf is he doesn't just take our sin, but he takes it on himself. And he gives us a brand new life that we can walk away forgiven, redeemed, set free, and delivered. Come on, if you believe that today, give me a good amen, man. Love you, Josh. And for somebody in here today, you've been living under, man. You got to get yourself back to God. You got to perform. You got to be better. You got to work your way back to God. And here's what I want to say to you. The message of Christmas isn't about you getting to God. The message of Christmas is about God coming to us. God coming to get dirty. God to rescuing us from our sin. It's about God disarming principalities and powers. Did you know that's what the Bible says Jesus did at the cross? He disarmed the devil. That thing, that gun of condemnation, of guilt, it's been pointing at you. And all you can do is see that. Tara, I just got to get away from that. I hate the way this feels. I got to be better. I got to get myself out of this situation. Anxiety, fear, depression. Jesus came, just took it right out of his hands. Said, come to me. You got to get this. God is not as consumed with good and evil as you are. You know what he's consumed with? Us getting back to the original state, where it was us walking with him in the cool of the day, us conversating with him, us having a relationship that was full of life, was full of intimacy with God. You know why Jesus came? He came to rescue us, to bring us back to the Father. He's here to do it right now for people for this belief, with every head bowed and every eye closed.
Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast. We hope that this message inspired you to love God, love people, and lead in life. If you'd like to connect with us further, please visit us on the web at mycitychurch.cc. Until next time, we are believing that the best is yet to come in your life.